Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to give a short advertisement. If you've not seen the movie Woodlawn, go see it. How many of you have seen it? It wrecked my world. I cried for 2 hours. I cried through the whole movie. I wanted to tell you, it was wow. I mean, I'm just telling you, I just want to tell you this. Go watch it, get inspired, because it's happening again. If those of you who've seen it will understand what I'm talking about. In fact, I posted on Facebook last night, I said, on this day, what does this mean to people? That was a phrase in there. I never watch a movie that God doesn't speak something to me. But basically, on this day, the team there decided they could break a losing streak and also break a team that had never lost winning streak. And on that day, they did. Well, on this, I just want to say to you today, on this day, you can become a change agent. I just preached that here. And so press in and believe God. I want to talk with you today about posturing your soul for breakthrough. I look around the room and, you know, we're an interesting congregation because we'll kind of grow up and then we go through a period of time where, for whatever reason, people don't choose to come or they don't press in, they don't get here. You know, really, they should have woke up in time. It's the spring when you don't wake up in time when we change our clock. But you should have woke up in time. I enjoyed that extra hour of sleep last night. It was great. Amen. And we enjoyed it. But here's what I want you to catch, and I want you to understand. It's time to posture your attitude or posture your soul for breakthrough. Breakthrough is coming to this nation. I think some of you know Susan and some of the people from here, they're going up this week to Middletown, Ohio to be in the first national conference of Appeal to Heaven. And I talked with Dutch this week about it, and we had some conversations, and y'all be praying for that. We want this thing to, he's not trying to build a ministry, he's trying to build a movement. A movement of prayer that is needed in this nation. But we must posture our soul for breakthrough. Let me just tell you, what you focus on, it becomes bigger. If you focus on your attacks, it's going to get bigger. If you focus on the bad things that's going on in this nation, you'll become overwhelmed by it. One of the things that Ken Malone said last Sunday when he was preaching here of how he went, how many months, 3 months? I can't remember exactly. He didn't watch any news, or was it a year? He spent a period of time, he watched no news for a time because he realized that news was having a negative effect upon him. And when you look at the situation, let me do one more other advertisement. If you are registered, go and vote Tuesday. If you're not, shame on you. Yes. We'll never change this nation. You say, well, I don't know who to vote for. Well, ask God. Pray. Call your friends. Yes. Call me. Yes. If you're here in Mississippi. And let me just tell you, IRS, come get my 501c3. Vote against 42. I'm telling you. They can have my 501c3 because I'm going to tell you, I've studied it. I've looked into it. Let me tell you, to vote properly, you got to check two boxes to vote against it. I'm trying to help you. We do not need this. It's taking the power away from school system. It's laying it in the hands of possibly unrighteous people that have their own agenda. Vote against it. I've studied it. I've talked with some people about it. Have you heard me?
Yes. Amen.
And if you're my enemy and you're listening, mail it to them. I ain't scared of them. I'm just telling you, it's time to take our nation back.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, a man of God prophesied to me years ago. He said, whoever you fear in your church runs your church. Had a guy dropping $5,000 a week. He kept meeting with the elders saying, the Lord sent me here to make sure there's financial integrity in this ministry. We'd already told him twice he was wrong. We had financial integrity. And so finally I just went and told him, I said, look, you're never going to have that position. You're never going to move into it because it's not God. And you know what he did? He left and took as many people with him as he could. You know what I said? Adios. Without. But can I tell you what? The following week, people got raises. New people came in. Never missed the $5,000 a week. Never missed it. Not a penny of it. Wait, what? Excuse, I told that wrong, didn't I? It wasn't 5,000. It was $1,000 a week. Excuse me. I'm sorry. All right. Posture. What does it mean to posture? It means to a position of the body or body part. A sitting posture is an attitude. I've said this long ago prophetically. You know, when you adjust your attitude, it adjusts your altitude. You know, that's actually air term. It's a not nautical. What's the word? It's an aircraft term. Whether your nose is up or down, they call that your attitude. And if you pull your nose up, your altitude increases if you drop your nose down. Pilots understand that. And so you need to press in and get a different attitude about that. I'm so tired of people criticizing the church. The very thing that God has put in the earth to be the blessing, and people want to criticize. Can I tell you what? We are nowhere near at City Gate where God wants us to be. We got things falling through the cracks. We're making mistakes. We're not doing it perfectly. But can I tell you what? Quit complaining about it and get in there and help me with it. We need to get our youth ministry birthed and going. But rather than saying we don't have one, somebody step up and help us build one. Are you hearing me? I'm not angry at you. I'm just, how can you expect to draw blessing from that which you're cursing? You got an old rattle trap car, and all you do is complain about it and call it junk. That's what it becomes. First in your mind, and then physically. What you devalue, you cannot draw life from. That's what happens in marriages. When you quit valuing your spouse, when you quit valuing those things, you can no longer draw life from that situation. And God is wanting us to posture for breakthrough. I'm telling you, breakthrough is here. Well, Apostle, you ain't looked at my checking account. It ain't broke through. It's that attitude right there. I think I got one in my pocket, but you got that. And thank you. It is, you got to change. You got to begin to look at this. You know the story about the baby elephant when he's born. They take and tie his leg to a pole that's buried in the ground with a rope. And all his life he goes to go and he can't go because he's with it. And then later on when he can pull that pole out of the ground or break that rope, it's a mindset in him. We've got to posture ourselves for breakthrough. There's a study that was done, and I've used this many times. Some of you are tired of hearing it, but it's the best. They took an aquarium. They put carp fish in it. And they would drop minnows in and feed them every day. I mean, it was, they said the carp, I went back and reread the article about a month ago. The carp would get to where even at the time of day before, I mean, just prior to when they're going to feed them, before they even came in the room, they had camera, they would get all frenzy and ready because they knew the menace was coming. And one day, they just slid a glass divider in the aquarium. All the carp on one side. And they dropped the minnows on the other side. And every time one of those carp would go after a minnow, they'd hit their nose. They'd hit their mouth against that divider. And so eventually the attitude came, minnows, pain. Minnows, pain. Minnows, pain. See, some of you in this room know somebody that when you mention church, they go pain. You can be the change agent in their life.
That's right.
You can be the one, the bridge, the repair of the breach that will move them out of believing that way into. I can't promise you we won't disappoint your friend, but I'm telling you, if you'll go to work on them, we will change. We will work with them on the page they're on until they can get on the page God's on.
Amen.
And then eventually, they would pull that divider out. You know what happened? the carp would never go after the minnows. The minnows just swim around with them. You know what else would happen? They would take other carp who had never felt the pain and put them in there. And every time they'd go after a minnow, one of the other carp would begin to nudge them away, saying to them, speaking in fish language, no, those minnows cause pain. You know why our young people don't like church today? Because parents complain about what's not right in the church in front of them. Quit cursing what God has put in the earth to be a blessing. Am I helping you? I know none of you are this way, but you know people this way. Philippians chapter 2, 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are we created in his image or not? I don't know about you. I'm created in his image. I haven't said this in a long time. I enjoy saying this. You need to think of things God would think of should he think of them. I know that sounds funky, but it's not. I'm talking about this. Listen, God wants you to have the mind of Christ so that you think the things he thinks. He doesn't want to have to say, ever do this. Do this. He wants you to come be, because you're created in his image, because you have the mind of Christ, you're going to think just like your daddy. That's good. And when you think like your daddy, breakthrough comes. See, some of you are looking at your lack in your account or the loneliness of your heart because the spouse hadn't come, whatever it might be. I'm telling you that you need to see it as an opportunity. 13 years ago, we were around a young man. No, excuse me. How many years ago? 12 years ago, we were around a young man that was 13 years old. He's now 25 and spent the last 5 years of his life in Jordan. He's now fluent in Arabic. When he was 16, he had a dream. And God spoke to him, and he went to the Middle East to work with Arabic people. They are seeing hundreds become followers of Jesus. But he's in a place where they kill you for even thinking Christianity. And he went there with no money. God told him, he said, when you get there, you'll meet somebody. 3 months after you're there, you'll meet. And everything has worked out. But he didn't have any money. In fact, he had enough money finally to rent a place. And with that, he could pay his rent and eat 3 weeks a month. So he'd just fast a week a month. But he even hit a place to where something happened. He came up short and he called his dad. I know his dad. His dad's a great friend of mine, great, powerful minister. Called his dad and he said, Dad, I don't have any food and I don't have any money. Can you help me? And his dad said, nope. I think there's a lesson to be learned. He said he got off that phone. He was angry with his dad. He said, but he learned the greatest lesson he ever learned. And that is, you can trust God. God came through for him. It's just amazing. Susan and I, he drove all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee to spend. We had dinner with him Thursday night, and I spent 2 hours with him on Friday morning before he drove back to preach in Knoxville that night. Honoring young man. Can I tell you what? He's 25 going on 45. I'm just incredible. One of these days I'm going to meet y'all's son because he's that same spirit. See how you know? Because I pray over him all the time and what he's doing. And God knit my heart to you too. He knit me to your son. And he'll minister here sometime when he's in. I know that. Because let me just tell you, is those of you that are younger in age, you're carrying the future. Just like those of us that are older in age, we're carrying the future. But we got to have some that will have common sense and practicality and learn. You know what scares me about some of the younger generation? This entitlement mindset. Mama and daddy owe me. Uncle Sam owes me. Come on, get out of that. God doesn't even owe you. He's a father that wants to bless you. You know, if you feel like God owes you to heal your body, you're operating as a slave. You're operating as a servant and not as a son or daughter. That this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Listen, you're not God, but you're created in his image. And if you'll start thinking about yourself different, you'll rise up. I think about Ed and Diana's daughter, Mary Short, Mary Walker Short. First time it's ever happened in the state of Mississippi. Her first year teaching, what do you call a first year teacher? A novice? I mean, I don't know. But the first time it ever happened, she got what? Teacher of the year. How many of you remember that? She got, they said that never been done before. But let me just tell you what. You know why? Because Mary had the right attitude. Yeah. Amen? She had the right attitude. Now she's changing careers now because God is leading her. But what I want you to understand, you got to have the right attitude. If you're going to see breakthrough, you got to have the right attitude. Carrie, you got the right attitude. You know that I'm glad for every penny that the school district pays you. And I pray they increase it. But can I tell you what? You know it's a ministry. That's the thing I love so much about you. You know it is a ministry. Amen. One of the things you'll get out of the movie Woodlawn without spoiling it is how this young man discovered his ministry on a football field. Find what God is gracing you to be, who he's great, not what, but who he's gracing you to be, and tap into it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I got a family that was in a meeting with me in another state, and they've taken some of the glory dust that comes on me from time to time, and they took it to a jeweler, and he put it under a microscope. And a jeweler who is trained to examine gold and stuff with it, he's now saying, he wrote this deal, and he says it's plastic. Looks like plastic to him. He said it all of the little sprinkles of glory dust look the same. And so they've never come. How many of you realize that Matthew 18:15 is real for today? If a brother errs. So they've got this campaign going in this other state to discredit me totally. And someone wrote me an email this, I actually read it yesterday and said, aren't you going to defend yourself? No. Because how many of you realize that a natural person can't discern the things of the Spirit, and there is no argument that I could give them that would cause them to believe that I'm not a false minister? Let me tell you what I do. Every time I think about it, I forgive them for being out of order. God, if I was fabricating it, and I'm not, but if I was, God will not honor the way that they're going about it because it's out of the order of God. Are you here? You've got to change your thinking. So many people want to correct things in other people's life, but they try to do it out of the order of God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Can I just hit a sacred cow for a moment? Can we just butcher him? There is a religious teaching that says as Christians we're not to judge. Let me just tell you what that is. That's heresy. That's the doctrine of devils. Yes, it does say judge not unless you be judged. What that word there is the word critique. It simply means don't do it unless you've already judged yourself or you're willing. Whatever you sow, you reap. But let me just tell you, if you'll do what the scripture just said, if you'll judge yourself, then no man can judge you. Those people think they're judging me. They're working. There's another minister who I won't allow to minister in this house. She's gotten on board with it now. And she's circulating it. Let me just tell you, I've walked through this the last 30-some years with many people. I bless them. I forgive them. I hope God blesses them. But I'm telling you, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Do you know that you have the mind of Christ? Let me tell you how to exercise it. Surrender. Not my will, but your will. Lord, I'm thinking about a new car, and I can get zero interest on a brand new one, but they won't give me zero interest on a brand new one. So I'm going to buy a brand new one. That must be you, God. No, you need to ask him. I got a chance to minister to a relative of mine this week, and I was just really amazed because this person is really growing in things of the Lord, and they've got a issue in their body, and they need, you know, with it. And they asked me a simple question. They're not near on the page I'm on, and said, do you think God's trying to say something to me through this? And I just carried them down this journey. I said, God prefers not to speak to us in circumstances. Doesn't mean he won't. But when he speaks to you out of circumstances, it's because you're not hearing him speak to you personally. Listen, God wants to speak to you personally. He wants to direct you personally. But listen, I don't want him speaking to me out of circumstances.
That's right.
I've been having a little problem with some situation in one of my feet, my left foot. And, you know, it's interesting. I can't remember now whether it was my right foot or my left foot I broke the year I was born again. And so I got someone I know that's a therapist to look at it. And can I tell you, there was nothing wrong with my foot. It was my calf. And they gave me a therapy to do. And I've been doing it for a few weeks now. And 99% of the problem is gone out of my foot. Because my calf was caught. Listen, I'm amazed. You know, because I was looking for the source of the problem in the wrong place. It was somewhere else, but the pain was coming out in another place. We've got to shift into dealing with the root of issues. I'm not going to go there, but I'll. Most of the medications today deal more with symptoms than they do with root. I'm just telling you, I don't know that I will be able to, but at this point it looks like I'm going to try to finish this race and not be on any pharmaceuticals. I'm determined. And yes, I'm carrying too much weight, and yes, I'm getting into a plan for it, and yes, I'm in disobedience. I'm just being honest. But we can deal with it. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, I love this. The scripture states that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Listen to that. The prophetic realm to many people is an area that is misunderstood and they want it to be eerie. I want you to hear me. Somewhere out off of I-40, right now, at a place called Bellevue Baptist, there's somewhere between 34 and 36,000 people gathered out there. Okay? They tell me that every week they have 36,000 in attendance. I don't know if that's all one service or what, but there's a bunch of people gathering out there. Do you know that every one of those Baptists, wonderful Southern Baptists, are prophetic? Because the prophetic is about hearing from God, not just speaking for God. And God wants every believer to hear and to recognize his voice. If we're going to posture ourselves for breakthrough, you'll never be fully postured until you yourself can recognize the voice of God. But can I tell you what? This charismatic, spirit-filled, Pentecostal church that we've become, we've set it up to where they got to go to the prophet to get the word of the Lord. Or they got to do this. Now, let me just share. Some of you, every time we have a prophetic gifting in here, you want a word, or the prophetic healing team, you want a word. I got a late-breaking news bulletin straight out of heaven. God said you ain't done nothing with the last one. I'm not being mean-spirited. Copeland teaches this. If you're not hearing God, go back to the last thing he said to you and see if you've executed it fully. When I heard him teach that 30-some years ago, it wrecked mine and Susan's walk in a good way. It lifted us up out of a mindset. It put us on a different page. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That word, the Lord is at hand, is the word Maranatha. It doesn't mean that the Lord is coming like tomorrow. What it means that when he comes, he'll come quickly. I got news for you. This week, as we traveled and the weather we were in, the Lord came in our life because he protected us. We didn't have any clothes. Listen, you don't travel the miles that we did for 8 days and the kind of weather we were in and have the most. I mean, it was incredible, wasn't it, Susan? I mean, we so valued that prayer time and traveling across the state of Arkansas. But let me tell you what this scripture actually could be translated from the raw Greek. Let the character, the authority, and the nature of Christ who is in you be evident to all mankind. You want to see breakthrough? Get more Christ-like. Let me just tell you, he was all the time caring. I love these love people. You know, the answer to everything, we're just supposed to love. And they post all this stuff on Facebook, and I believe the answer to everything is we're supposed to love. I want you to hear me. But here's my question. Was he not showing love when he went into the marketplace and called them den of thieves and turned tables over? See, what they're saying is, we're supposed to love like I think love is. Love never corrects me. No, 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 James Dobson was right. What do you call it? Strong love? Tough love. Any of you, Becca, I know you were just almost born perfect. Okay? Just somewhere real close to it. But you ever had any correction on a part of your body that stung a little bit? At least once in your life? Thank you. She's not perfect, young man, but she's a keeper. Okay? Just trying to help you out, Becca, just a little bit here. I'm embarrassing her. You understand that? Love corrects. Tough love is real. When this young man, Micah, Suter's father, told him, said, no, I don't believe I'm supposed to help you. Micah told him, he said, I thought my dad was off his rocker. I thought, how mean a dad can you be? I'm over here in Jordan. I've got no food to eat, and I don't know anybody. But it caused him to get a hold of God. Where are you at today? Posture. How do you posture yourself? Let's move on. Number one, make sure you're spiritually awake. I am amazed at the people in the body of Christ that are just spiritually asleep. Can I tell you something? If you're ever up in the Jasper, Arkansas, south of Harrison, you need to go by the End Time Handmaiden. They have 450 acres in those mountains up there. I'm just telling you. The presence of God was so strong there. I mean, the prayer was, I mean, just incredible what they've done. But it's spiritually awake. What does it mean to be spiritually awake? Sensitive to what God's saying. He speaks every day. Let me just tell you, if I ever hit the third day that God has not spoke something fresh to me, something rhema or God breathed to me, then I set that day aside to seek him all day because I know there's something in my life blocking him. Now, let me just tell you, it doesn't all have to be revelation. Sometimes he just says, I love you, son. Ooh, man, that's a good day. I mean, when he tells me that he loved me, I'm telling you, I believe the morning that David woke up going to go after Goliath, I believe the father told him, said, I love you, son. And I believe old David, you know, he said, I'm going to eat my Cheerios. I'm going after that giant. My daddy loves me. And he went out onto that field And he went out there with a mindset of, on this day, there's a cause, and I can make a difference. I can bring a change. It's time for breakthrough. It's time for breakthrough in every area. Number two, we need to really press into living holy and clean life. We need to have integrity. And I appreciate it. I think you're very sensitive to some things you're saying today. Can I just tell you? This includes Citygate. God's going to clean the church up. That stuff you think you can sneak around and get away with, God knows it. That stuff that you think is, you know, you're getting by with, what you're sowing, you're reaping. And let me tell you what God does do. He determines when the harvest comes in. Men and women get away with it for a while. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, be holy as I am holy. Romans 13:12 shows us that prophetic people know the night is far spent and the day of the Lord is at hand, that we need to put off the works of darkness. The prophetic will make clear that we are to be in this world but not of this world. Too much posturing to look like the world. I'm amazed at men that I've run with in the past that now they don't have any raising of hands in their churches. They don't have any prophecy in their churches. They don't have any prayer with that because, and their whole deal was that, well, we might offend a non-believer. Somebody that is a better theologian than I am, help me understand when it said that Jesus was the rock of offense, how we can ever come into the, even the least thought about, we don't want to offend anyone. Let me just tell you what got me born again was being offended. God offended me. Jesus Christ, his son, offended me. And it brought me to salvation. Anybody ever heard this religious preacher say, God won't violate your will? That's nonsense. It was not my will to go broke. It was not my will for my trucking company to fail. It was not my will for my family to go through the hardships that we did before I got born again. But he knew exactly where to deal with me. And he dealt with me in a manner that brought me to the end of me and surrendered to him. And as a result of it, he came into my life and impacted me in a tremendous way. Holy and clean lives. Number three, we need to get kingdom minded. Let me just give you the short version of this. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, which is right relationship, not right standing, comes through repentance and brings change. Peace comes through obedience, and it's about action. And joy comes through relationship, and it's about community. If you're a kingdom person, you're changing. You're obedient. Let me back up. You're changing. Your actions are changing, and you are pressing into the community. I have a problem with people that believe they don't need the church. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man through his own desires will isolate himself and seek wisdom, but then argue or quarrel with it when it comes. Every person that ever come to me in 30 years of ministry and said, pastor, apostle, prophet, whatever they call me, we just feel like God's telling us to pull out of church for a while. We're going to seek God and get a new word. And with that, every one of them, at 100% of them are shipwrecked. You know why? Because when they pulled out of the body and they got alone, they were an easy target for the enemy to bring in. Deception. God created us to need each other. Men need, let me say it different. Husbands need their wives. Wives need their husband. We need each other. We can't go to the next phase of this house without you, the shareholder, stepping up and bringing your vision and carrying your weight and moving to that place. Are you hearing me? Kingdom minded. Whew. We need to be brought in. Let me tell you what. People that are kingdom minded live in His marvelous light. I mean, it's just incredible. Can I just share with you about what the marvelous light does? Last Friday night in Mountain Home, Dwayne Hardwick, who leads City Gate Heber Spring, had a prophetic word. He heard the Lord say this, 89 years ago. So he said, Lord, what 89 years ago? And the Lord began to show him the greatest devastation that's ever come to this United States of America came 89 years ago, the Great Flood of 1927. Study it. It's still known. It displaced more people and took more life and caused more damage than Katrina, the other one up on the East Coast, everything. You have to understand with it. And so he got up and prophesied. What God showed him was, he said, God was about to come into the earth, the United States of America, with a flood that in the spirit was going to be equal to the natural flood that came to this nation. And it was going to have the same effect, good, as that flood had wrong, had bad, because it was an outpouring of that. And it was so marvelous. We have a friend, some of you know her, Linda Rhodes, that her and her husband John come here some. They live in Oklahoma City. She had driven from Oklahoma City to Mountain Home to be in that meeting. God had told her, said, if you'll go to that meeting in Mountain Home, I'm going to break a generational curse. And Dwayne shares this word 89 years ago. And all of a sudden, the marvelous light came to her. Because she's a kingdom person. And she began to put two and two together. 89 years ago in Mountain Home, Arkansas, her grandfather abandoned her grandmother when her mother was 2 years old. And a generational curse started. That part's good, isn't it? Let me tell you the real good part. She has a sister. And they've not spoken 17 years. Not one word. And while she's sitting there at the end of the service, her phone begins to ring. And it's her sister. Only God can do these things. Only God can do these things. Are you hearing me? Only God can do these things. Can I tell you what I know? I know that generational curse began to be broken. I'm not going to tell you it's fully severed, but it began to be broken. Why? Because she was a kingdom woman that heard God say. She drove from Oklahoma City by herself in very harsh rain. And she came expecting God. He said, go, and I'll break a generational curse. She didn't understand how it was going to come. Dwayne Hardwick said, hey, I knew that I'd heard from God, but I didn't know it was going to be that strong, what God would do. And God did something. See, there's people this morning that should be here in this house. Just one little nugget of something I said, or the prayers that went forth from you a while ago could have been the prayer that set them free, but it's easier to stay in bed than it is to come. It's easier to complain. I don't know if you know this, but if you're a shareholder, I forgot to teach this a couple Sundays ago. We have one rule that's written in concrete or stone here. You're not allowed to complain about anything you're not willing to die to bring change to. I'm always amazed that people can come and tell me what's wrong in my church. And I say, great, I agree. It's wrong. What do we need to change? Well, I don't know that part. But God told me it's wrong. Why is it that the God can show you wrong, can't give you the answers to correct something? I'm preaching better than you're amening. Number four. I only got one more past that. Transparent lives. I've already hit on this today. I'm not going to hit on it. Listen, let us walk properly as in the day. How many of you know there's things you can get away at night that you can't get away in the daytime? Amen. Let us walk properly as in the day. Let me just share something with you. I'm not stepping on your... Yeah, I'm going to step on your toes. If God's word says depart from all appearance of evil, then how dressing your kids up as witches and warlocks and all this on this deal, how does that apply? Well, preacher, you're getting into legalism now. No, his word says depart from all appearance of evil. Let me just tell you what it can be evil. Tina's here. Alan's not here. I guess he's traveling, ministering, whatever he's doing. Doesn't matter. She's here today. You're not going to walk into Starbucks and Tina and I be sitting there by ourselves without our spouses having a conversation.
That's right.
Not going to happen. You know why? Because it can have the appearance of evil. The same thing would be true of Carrie. It could be true of Vicky. It could be true of Wapilla. It could be true of with that. And there are times I know that are different. But what I'm trying to tell you, we've got to depart from the appearance of evil. And then on the other hand, don't get over on this side of legalism and that believe that every frog and every owl and all of this stuff is demonic. Amen? You got to understand what passed away at the cross and what passed through the cross. If you don't want to eat pork, don't eat pork. But it ain't Memphis barbecue if it ain't pork. Did he not say if you fulfill any of the law, you got to fulfill all the law?
Amen.
You know, I had a Navajo pastor come into a meeting, and one of my friends was there, who's a pastor, was speaking, and he'd rode there on his motorcycle, and he had his motorcycle garb on, and he had a tattoo that every once in a while he's got a Christian verse right on his arm would show out from under his sleeve, This pastor got up and began to rebuke us. How can you allow this man to speak to you? And how will you listen to him? And he's got ink on his body and the scripture speaks against it and all this stuff. And now here we are in the middle of Navajo land and this Navajo pastor came in there and he had a suit on. That's not their normal dress. He had been westernized, messed up by the white man. And so I just let him rant and rave when he got through. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? And, you know, he got off on everything, women cutting their hair and wearing makeup and the whole deal. And I just asked him, I said, you know, there along that same text on the law, I said, doesn't it say something about priests can't wear garments of different material? Yes, sir, it sure does. I said, is that tie silk? Is that shirt cotton? Is that coat wool? And it got him so bad, he blew up and left the room. But see, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to fulfill some of the law, you got to fulfill it all. I believe that God, that Jesus, his work, set us free from a legalistic system. Now, can I share with you? Eating too much pork can have an effect in your body. Amen? I just had my allergy test. All I've eaten for several years, just about all I've eaten has been chicken, broccoli, cauliflower, and turnip greens. Found out I'm allergic to chicken, broccoli, cauliflower, and turnip greens. I'm having to change my whole diet. I love broccoli. But I'm having to change. What I want you to get, you know, everything is permissible, the scripture said, but not everything is beneficiary. We gotta move. I want breakthrough to come in your life. Let me tell you what. If breakthrough comes in your life, then you can bring breakthrough in somebody else's life.
Amen.
When we were there with the End Time Handmaiden, they asked me to speak, and one of the things I prophesied was breakthrough. You know, when Sister Gwen died, it'd be 3 years ago now, almost four, it'd be four in January, when she died, the whole ministry shifted. How many of you know you cannot pass the vision down to somebody else? The vision is going to change by the temperament and the gifting and the abilities by the next person that picks it up. And that's kind of where they were. But transparent lie. Number five. This is a great one. Okay? Posture yourself for an apprehended life. Man, I love this. Listen to this. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. We need to understand that we must press on and allow ourselves to be apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one place he says he came to set the captives free. Another place he said he came to lead captivity captive. It's the tension of both those truths. But yet the atheists want to take our young people on the college campus and try to convince them that the Bible contradicts itself. I read a while ago to you that the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. You can't read that Bible. It won't make one bit of sense to you if you've not come into some kind of a relationship with God. I mean, you've got to come. You might just be born. You know, we used to have a saying, man, he got saved by the skin of his teeth. Some of you are not old enough to remember, but I mean, it just, you know, with it. I want to tell you, you know, can I tell you the key to learning and getting revelation? It's just simply this. That which you have, give it away, and God will give you more. Paul said it, I think it was in Romans. For as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. If all you got today is John 3:16, share it. Moody. What was his first? Dwight Moody? Is that his name? Dwight Moody. Went to England to preach one time and left a young evangelist. His wife, and he left his wife in charge, and his young evangelist preached and told him, he said, you can't preach in my big sanctuary in Chicago. You got to preach in the basement. And he preached. He went on and preached for 7 weeks out of one scripture. In fact, the second night of the meeting, it grew so big they had to move into the sanctuary. When Moody finally got over to his wife to see later in the week, out of the meeting, she said, well, we're up in the sanctuary. He said, why? He said, because we outgrew the basement that we're in. And he said, really? And he said, well, how are the crowds in the sanctuary? And he said, we're close to capacity. And he preached for 7 weeks out of one scripture. When Moody came back and met with the young man, he asked him, he said, why did you preach out of one scripture? He said, that's the only revelation I had. But people got born again. For as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Can I tell you the strongest preaching you can do? Tell people what God did for you. Man, our marriage was shot. I didn't like who I was. I loved pills and alcohol. You know, there's two things I used to say all the time before I got born again. I don't want to be worth a million. I just want to owe a million. I got there. Second thing was, I just want to feel my hair grow. If you've ever done speed, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, I used to sit around, you know, driving a truck all hopped up on speed and watch my fingernails grow. I know that sounds weird to you if you've never done this, but I'm telling you, there's a reality. But you can confess yourself into a place of destruction, and I did that. And I changed that. Let me close by giving you some signs of being postured for breakthrough. You got a vision for your life. What's your vision? Let me just tell you, if you really got a vision, you got a purpose statement. Where do you want to be in 3 months? Where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 2 years? Where do you want to be in 3 years? You know, Susan and I were lost and undone when we decided to have children. But we made a decision. When we decided to have children, we were going to have them 3 years apart. And they're pretty well there. There. We made that. I mean, we didn't even know. But we had some discipline in our life. And it's not that three is the perfect number apart. That's what we decided that would work for us. And it's what did work for us. Number two, you need to have a vision for your family. You know, I'm working on a vision for my family. I believe with all my heart that when we go to court next April the 4th, that I'm going to get a settlement on my dad's wrongful death. My son's already breaching out. If you want any outdoor lighting, he's started an outdoor lighting company. Just drive down College Road and look at us and our neighbor. We just set it up temporary in front of our house, and our neighbor so liked they came over and bought almost $4,000 worth of it. And if you'd like to have it at your house, you're in the first year of business, and we'll discount it well. But I want to see my son in his own business. I want to see my daughters, you know, I want to bless them. We have a house. Dawn lives in a house in Horn Lake, and when she's ready, no pressure. But when she's ready, we're going to sell it, because I want her to live closer to City Gate where she works. I want her to live over in this part, and we're going to sell that house. It's a great house, but we believe I want her to have her own house. You know, I've got, you know, I'm into that second part. I want to see some of you. Natalie, I don't want to see you working like you had to work all the time. I want you all to be so financially secure you can just do the music thing because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. You know, in the movie Rookie, I quote this a lot. Dennis Quaid said, his grandfather told him, he said, you got to do what you got to do until you get to do what you want to do. When we can support Matt properly here, I just took a big step recently, and we're moving all the web work and all that away from Matt. He's been doing it with everything he does, and he's overwhelmed. And I have hired Dutch Sheets' son-in-law, Blake Weinberg, to take it on, and he's starting to work on it. And let me just tell you, you know, when you hire somebody that's good, he does all of Dutch's, he gave us a great discount. He cut it in half, but it's still thousands of dollars. But we're going to do it. We're going to step up to that. Because somebody said to me, and I'm not upset at you if you're listening by streaming, said to me, I don't know why you have to do all this stuff. You're only a church of about 100. My people are destroyed for a lack of vision. Or the vision is out. Have you got a vision for your family? Have you got a vision for your part in the church? You know, here's how I teach it. I came here with the smooth edges of the jigsaw puzzle. Actually, where it says where there's no vision, the people perish, what it actually said, most of the translations say that where there's no prophetic revelation, the people without restraint. Let me just tell you, boundaries are not limitations. I came with the boundaries of the smooth edges, but Tina's got her part. Lourdes has got her part. Everybody's got their part. You've got to place your part for that puzzle to be complete. Are you hearing me? We need you to place. I would love to have a puzzle of maybe the City Gate logo. I don't know. And every time someone became a shareholder, we gave them a piece to put on it. I just think that'd be so great. Have it on the wall over here. You know, and on Shareholder Sunday. Like, the reason we took in about 20 shareholders on Shareholder Sunday, you know, after we commission them, we give them, and they go place their part on that jigsaw puzzle. Maybe we'll get there one of these days. Number three was to have a vision for your church. Number four, have a vision for your city. What are you going to bring change? Yes. Well, I can't bring no change. I just work down here at the factory, and I go to work, and we work 12 hours, and I'm tired all the time. No, you can be a change agent there. Yes. Yes. Vision for your city. Isn't it going to be great when North Mississippi is known for no human trafficking? Yes. Yes. They drive hundreds of miles out of the way to keep them coming through this area. Amen. Let me just tell you, you know, I think you're aware I've prophesied three times about the human trafficker removing some of these girls and others in high-dollar horse trailers that has air conditioning and generators. A friend of mine who moves railroad workers said he was talking to some of them recently. He didn't mention that at all. And they told him, said, you know how they're moving these girls, don't you? High-dollar horse trailers. I prophesied in Hattiesburg. I prophesied in Heber Springs, and I prophesied it here. God showed me that that's how some of them are being moved up and down the road. I don't know if you can, incognito, that would be a word, without being recognized. Number five, how about a vision for your territory? I don't apologize, City Gate, that my vision is stronger for the territory than it is for this house. I don't apologize. I'm focused outward, not inwardly. The reason God has given us people like Dan and Vicky and Thomas and Kathy and Matt and Natalie and Henry and Mary and Lourdes and Chris and all the others, Deborah Russom is here and Everett and everybody that's here. We need you to help us. Listen, don't bind this thing. There's not pastoral in this house. Yeah, I'm an apostle. I don't apologize for that, but I'm telling you, the pastoral is here. The truth of the matter, if we build this place right, the pastoral is going to be done through the people. Who was it? Nora Ammons, when her husband was dying of cancer, there on, not Germantown Parkway, on Poplar, the hospital there. I don't know if you remember or not, but one day she was there with her husband, and they thought she had a heart attack. And by the time I got to where I could go to the hospital, 9 people, none of them elders in this house, none of them leaders in this house, had already been to the hospital and prayed for her.
Thank you.
Whew. I don't know about you, but that's kingdom. That's what it should be. Let's break this nonsense off that it's got to, you know, Dan, can I tell you what? I'm no more anointed than Dan. Dan is no more anointed than me. It could just simply be that this couple live near that hospital and the call them all goes out and they get the call and they choose to go and God works through them. If that's a wrong vision, then God change it. Because if it's all about what goes on Sunday here, I hope you're so stirred today that your waitress ain't going to get away from you till you lay hands on her and pray for her. And I give you permission, not to be foolish, but if you want to pray in tongues, do it. I'm just telling you, I came as close to prophesying in that movie last night as you can do it and not do it. I probably was in disobedience. I want to get up and say, it's here again. If you hadn't seen the movie, you don't understand. You need to go see it. I don't own stock in it. Wish I did. I'm just telling you, it stirred me with it. It was like when that movie, Lone Survivor, it stirred me. What's your vision for the territory? Well, you know, Apostle Nash, my vision is I just want to come to church on Sunday and be real warm and fuzzy. I just want to belong to a good church like this, so if I can't pay my bills, y'all can help me. Come on. It's not what this church can do for you. It's what you can do for this church. This entitlement, need more mindset, got to be broken. And how about a vision for this nation? I'm postured. I'm just telling you. You watch. God spoke to me so much in Arkansas. Didn't know this, but we were on Highway 7. It's one of the most scenic highways in the whole state. Before I even got on Highway 7, Dan, the Lord said to me 3 times, seven it, seven it, seven it. You're not familiar with that term? That's a covenant term. And when they made covenant, it said, we sevened it. That. The Lord told me, he said, that's his seventh highway. So I did a little research on it. Amazing. It's the longest highway in the state of Arkansas. I'm just telling you. I'm not sure that we finished Trail of Hope. I'm not going to do a Highway 7 tour with that. To seven what we did with the Trail of Hope. And let me just tell you, how many of you are from Mississippi? Hold your hand up if you live in Mississippi with that, or have a connection to it. Okay, I want to go beyond that because I know y'all are greatly connected. The Lord spoke to me this week about the Trail of Hope for Arkansas. We're only going to do 5. We're going to do 1 in the northeast corner, the northwest corner, southeast corner, southwest corner, and 1 in the center of the state. And the 1 in the center of the state, we'll bring Dutch and Chuck and maybe even Cindy Jacobs in when we do that. That's what he's showing me. So I'm working on it. We're going to birth it by April of next year is what we're hoping to. I don't want you to hear legalism in that. That's what we believe, that we can birth it to where there'll only be 5 of them. We might even do all 5 in 3 months. It might work out that way. I don't know, but we're going to do 1 because this is just the beginning. Are you hearing me? Have you got a vision? I've got a vision. Let me just share something with you. The answer is not in either party. Let me tell you what God said to me recently. He said, quit considering a candidate that you think can win. He said, if you'll vote for who I tell you, even if they don't win, you've been obedient. Woo! Anybody else been to the woodshed? That was a woodshed trip for me. The candidate I believe, I'm not going to say who yet, but the candidate I believe God is tell me to endorse this week, doesn't look like he stands a chance to win. But if there might be 500,000 more out there that God is speaking to, that this is the candidate, we could have what they call a dark horse. You know, at this stage of the game, I researched this week, Ronald Reagan didn't look like he stood a chance. He came out of nowhere. And I value who he was. I saw great change. I saw the communist wall fall. I saw a lot of things. Have you got a vision for this nation? Let me tell you what I saw in Woodlawn. I'm going to say this part. Who saw it? Who saw the movie? You've seen the movie? Let me tell you what I saw in Woodlawn. A vision for this nation. I saw a vision for this nation. I saw races of people come together and laying down this petty, childish nonsense that tries to divide us. Lord told me to mention this very often. 83% of those arrested in Ferguson were from Chicago and were Muslims. And I got that from a good source. I want to say something. It did, because your husband had this background. I got it from someone who's with the FBI. That 83% of them were hired to go there because they want to fuel a race war in this nation and divide us so they can conquer us. Islam is behind it. It is not a normal little religious move. There's a truck driver just got a $270,000 settlement because he refused to deliver beer because it went against his Muslim faith. And yet the lady went to prison, or went to jail, not prison, in Kentucky because she refused. I don't know about you. I'm just telling you. I mean, if y'all think I should, I'll resign as an apostle and get into the government arena, because I'm gonna holler this from the top of the rooftop until people wake up and know that we can have breakthrough. Let me tell you where the breakthrough is. Anybody want to see where the breakthrough is? The breakthrough is right here, right between your ears. If you'll change your attitude, you can become an change agent. You can become a carrier of breakthrough. Many years ago, before I ever come here, so it had to be 15, 16 years ago, I was in England, and the Lord had two angels, and he told me, he said, I'm going to send two breakthrough angels back with you. And he said, I'm going to give you permission at special time to release those angels to bring breakthrough to other people. He told me when I was at the handmaidens to release one of them to bring breakthrough. Are you hearing me? Stand to your feet. I'm gonna just say a couple things, and I want y'all to come and pray over me for my trip to Brazil. And anybody that wants to come up, you're welcome to come up. I asked the Lord this week, I said, Lord, give me something just on the Holy Spirit, and, you know, just a little mild-mannered Sunday morning build-up message that, with that, and he didn't do that. I believe with every bit of my fiber, I preached this morning what he wanted me to preach, but here's what I'm going to say, and I don't want to shock you. I'm actually considering turning the Sunday mornings over to other preachers here in the house. And I want you to pray into this. I don't want you to come and tell me your opinion. I want you to pray I do the right thing and go into maybe two Saturday nights a month that I pray to those that want to hear this. Because I'm called to raise up an army. And I know people all the time, and I'm not telling you I'm going to do that, so don't grab a hope that I said I'm praying into this. I don't want to hold this church back. I don't want to hold it back a bit. But I'm not going to let it die either. And somehow we've got to transition, because God's looking. You know, I kept seeing something today, and I want to just be obedient just for a moment prophetically. But I just kept seeing as I was preaching, and I apologize. I don't even know your first name, or I can't remember it. I've been here too.
Tanya.
Mm-hmm. Tanya, I just kept seeing the anointing come on you today. And I believe you're carrying something for your age of people and your culture. And I believe there's something strong in you. And I believe the preaching I did today stirred something. And I just want to tell you, God's very pleased with where you're at. He's very pleased the stand you're making. And I just see some healing coming. And I'm not just talking about in this family. I think it has to do with extended family. There's been some contention. But he's heard your prayer and he's heard your prayer. And he's going to do something. But I just kept watching the anointing settle on you today. And there's a couple of times your spirit was just so stirred. You know, you just, you know, just that way. Just keep pressing in. God's got something for you to do. Father, I bless you people today. Let them hear my heart. Lord, please don't let anybody try to put pressure on me to make a decision their way. I don't pressure well, Lord, except from you. So, Father, I just bless you and I bless your people. And I just declare we're blessed here today. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name.